All right, welcome back, Teach Better Family. We just had a fantastic mastermind where I felt like, Chad, we saw a lot of folks we haven't seen for a little while. We also We took a break for Thanksgiving. I hope everyone that's watching had an opportunity to get some rest, relaxations, maybe some family time, some good food during the holiday break. But yeah, it was an awesome conversation this morning. Obviously, you know, when you have Chad Ostrowski in the house, you know you're in for a good time. So it was really fun. We had, you know, this month, Chad, we don't have a theme like we have in the past. So what we've done is we've been taking, you know, topics, questions from our Facebook group. And if you're not a part of the Facebook group, you need to make sure you do that. So if you're watching and you haven't joined, we are having a collaboration throughout the week. It's not just Tuesday mornings, just with the Ask My Mastermind. It's also, you know, a wonderful space for administrators to come in or educational leaders to pose questions, throw out some resources, and loving the conversation so far with this group. It's growing. And so, yeah, the question was posed today on co-teaching. So we really hit every facet of co-teaching this morning. It was a fantastic conversation. And Chad is graciously joining to kind of share the results of that. So Chad, just to, you know, jump into the conversation, you know, I really wanted to kind of define what co-teaching is, because as we know, every school is different. Every district has different expectations, different models. And so really I want to kind of set the stage of like, what is effective co-teaching and maybe what is some co-teaching models that exist out there so that we can kind of, you know, just have an example out there of a few pieces, because some folks were talking about it as a small scale thing. Some were talking about it as like a whole campus initiative. So will you just share kind of what you've seen as far as some different models and some effective co-teaching strategies?
Yeah. I think sharing some ineffective models is helpful at this point, because at its base level, a lot of times co-teaching can be reduced to the simplest form of its existence, which tends to be two adults in a room, but one doing all the work and the other helping when they can. So to me, I have a philosophy that every adult in every classroom should be maximizing student growth in any way humanly possible. So if you have one teacher trying to like traditionally teach while the other just kind of helps manage the classroom, that's not really going to gain you any student achievement theoretically, because you're not fully utilizing the other adult, the other capable educator in the room. So I think the most successful, and I'll just kind of stay general, I think the most successful models of co-teaching have, you know, a lot of times even as individual teachers, we talk about the teacher as a facilitator.
Yep.
So a lot of times I think that same thing goes for co-teaching. Like, how are both adults facilitating learning as needed in the space? So one of the cool things about co-teaching is that whether you want it to or not, I think it identifies gaps and areas of potential growth for individual teachers just as much as it shows you if they're good at bad at co-teaching. Because one of the most important things when we're talking about co-teaching is creating an environment at a basic level where both adults can impact kids on a day-to-day basis, not take turns, not just, and that's going to happen from time to time, but overall, are both adults able to work with, provide intervention, provide instruction and education for the kids in the room collaboratively and effectively to increase student achievement? And so I think to me, like, that's a base level definition of what good teaching should be, good co-teaching should be, but also what we don't want it to be, which I think is just as important, especially if you're starting the process.
So Chad, I know a lot of folks were talking about like stations and rotations within the co-teaching model. Will you just share kind of what examples were provided as far as what that might look like as far as the teaching aspect?
Yeah, I mean, obviously things like station rotations, workshop model, all of those things, even things like PBLs are really conducive to co-teaching. Obviously, at Teach Better, we see a ton of grid method classrooms that get co-taught, which are self-paced mastery classrooms where there's a learning progression that's being facilitated by adults as the students work through it. So regardless of which of those models you're kind of looking at as an individual teacher, I think one of the big questions you need to ask if you're interested in co-teaching as a leader, if you're interested in co-teaching as an educator, or interested in co-teaching as like a district administrator, the first question you need to ask is, are our learning environments student-centered enough to even have successful co-teaching? Because if we have teacher-centered models, kind of sage on the stage sort of teaching going on, that's not going to be conducive to another adult in the room, and you're not going to receive the return on investment of human capital from adding another adult to the room, especially when, I mean, let's be honest, most administrators are struggling to get one teacher in every room, let alone two at this point. Now, co-teaching can be a solution to that as well from a logistical standpoint, because if you can put 50 kids in a room instead of 25, now you can have two adults in the same room with a larger group of kids. Like, there's logistical benefits you can probably utilize to increase human capacity. However, we still have to be careful that the instruction happening is ready and able to execute co-teaching effectively. And the best metric for that is, are you doing normal individual one-person instruction effectively? Because if not, you're not going to see those returns from the investment that you're making.
Yeah. So Chad, let's go through some of the struggles that some of our administrators were seeing. And one of them was kind of the planning stages of co-teaching, because a lot of times it's more about, you know, coexisting and focusing on my content area that I'm comfortable with or my expertise versus it being more of a shared space. And so will you just kind of talk through as far as like the planning process and how to execute, you know, that collaboration prior to the lessons?
Yeah, I love talking about this because I think it actually fits for co-teaching and regular teaching, right? Yeah. Like instructional planning by the seat of your pants is never going to be successful. If I'm just planning for tomorrow or getting through the week, I mean, that's going to happen just in the real world every now and then, just because life and just because that's the life of a teacher. Like, there's going to be times when things go wrong or when you're up all night with your kid because they're sick and you just like have like there's things that happen. So let's assume on most days, right? On most days, we want to have a trajectory, a path, a progression of learning that's being facilitated in the classroom. So I think from a planning perspective, we cannot be planning day to day, moment to moment, flying by the seat of our pants and hoping stuff sticks to the wall when we throw it. Yep. If we want co-teaching to be successful, because especially a lot of times you'll have a content expert and a non-content expert because they're kind of swapping, like a science expert and a social studies expert or a math expert and an ELA expert. And they might be co-teaching, but one's there as a non-content expert but capable educator, and one's there as the primary planning partner and the content expert. So when you have that dynamic, you have one of those individuals that is not going to be as confident in the content. That means that the primary planning person needs to be able to provide them resources ahead of time, a plan ahead of time, explicit expectations and instructions. And it has to go both ways, because there's going to be another point where you're teaching the other content and co-teaching the other way potentially. So a lot of times adults simply will go, I didn't know what to do, so I did nothing.
Yep.
I literally heard this yesterday in a meeting with teachers when I was doing a coaching session with them. They were like, well, I just kept on asking, what can I do to help? And if you're starting your planning with, if you're already in the classroom and instruction's already happening and you're asking the question, what can I do to help? You're already like a week behind. Like in that, you're already behind the eight ball, because now you're just trying to figure it out as it goes. Versus you walk into the room and that primary teacher has a plan that's ready to go that hopefully was able to be co-planned. But if not, just due to logistics or co-planning time or whatever, hopefully they can go, hey, today I'm going to do a 10-minute mini lesson. Then we're going to split the classroom into stations or groups, or you're going to take these kids that need it, or these kids are on level two of the grid, so you're going to go in this the hallway with them while I work with level one kids on their progressions. If you're doing a grid method classroom, whatever that is, if there's not a long-term instructional plan, it's hard to utilize fully the other adult in the room, because then you're just wasting time going, I guess you can just help Billy over there because he needs it. Right. Versus let's strategically use the people we have to maximize student growth, which I'm going to just keep saying that over and over again because it needs to be said.
No, I think it does need to be said. And so, Chad, this will be the last kind of piece that we are going to talk through, because, you know, for our teachers, you know, the idea of co-teaching, I think most folks understand what that is, but when we get into kind of the nitty gritty of it, they don't really know those components. So, you know, if a school is looking to support it with professional development in this area, you know, what are some things that they can do to enhance the effectiveness of the co-teaching partnership?
Yeah. So, I mean, training and development is what we do. So we see this a lot. And there's, I think I even mentioned this in the meeting where like there's two sides of this coin. There's the co-teaching side, which we've even started offering training on models of co-teaching and specific training on how to collaborate with others effectively and execute co-teaching. So like there's like the very specific, this is how you co-teach training and development, which there's a ton of resources out there. There's a lot of different models, and you know, you can kind of choose what fits best for you or partner with someone like us to kind of help guide you in that training and development. But there's also like the precursory work that needs to occur before you even have that conversation. So I always ask the question when I, whether it's, we want to do standards-based grading, or we want to do co-teaching, or we want to do mastery, or we want to do, I will always go, where are you at now instructionally? And what needs to happen before that? And Josh, we work with schools all the time putting together strategic plans. And that's why that becomes so important when we go, hey, where are you at now? Because we can't hop, skip, and jump to where you want to be unless we've laid the right foundation. So for example, if they're not doing backwards design or planning ahead, having a co-teaching model is not necessarily going to help, other than it's going to be easier for the other teacher in the room, maybe, right? It's not really going to impact kids. And so looking at the instruction and going, is the instruction we're already doing as individual teachers conducive to another adult maximizing impact in space? Because if we're doing like traditional 1920 stand and deliver lecture 45 minutes a day kind of instruction, another adult in the room is not going to increase student achievement. Like I promise, you can quote me on this, right? Like it might help with some management, and it will make it easier for the adults in the room. That's what it will do. And it might feel better for the adults in the room, but the actual impact on kids will probably be minimal if the instructional environment is not conducive. So when you're looking for a training or development or a planning partner, a strategic partner in terms of executing this work, you have to be asking the questions, is it just the co-teaching we need training on, or are there other gaps that we need too? And make sure you're having those conversations, because 9 times out of 10, you can do both at the same time, but if you're not filling in the cracks and the gaps for professional practice, you're going to have a hard time getting the plane off the ground, because you're just going to end up increasing human capacity while not increasing student achievement. And that to me is just a bad recipe every single time. We have to make sure if we're using more human capacity when it's at a premium for educators across the country and schools and districts across the country, that when we put another adult in a space, they're maximally impacting student learning. Yep. And if a teacher wants another teacher to co-teach with, how are they going to utilize that? Are they making that right case? So to me, from training and development, identify your gaps. Is it a planning gap, or are all those pieces in place? Like, for example, if you already have a teacher running station centers or the grid method or mastery learning or personalized learning or PBLs all the time, another adult's going to be great in that space. It's already student-centered. It's already set the stage for really successful co-teaching. But if you have a teacher that's just lecturing 45 minutes a day, giving a quiz on Friday, another adult's not really gonna be able to help much more than, Billy has a question, can you help them with it while I continue you know, doing what I want to do or what I'm doing. And there's middle ground there too. It's not all just like one or the other, but just be aware and be honest with yourself before you enter into training and invest the money and resources about where your staff actually is. And if co-teaching is going to be beneficial, I think a lot of times it is beneficial, but make sure you've put the work and the training and the development in place first to yep. make sure that that's going to be successful.
Chad, one last point. I love the idea of like, once you have this established, you know, and you had talked about like building small, that, you know, maybe you have a pilot classroom where you have it exactly the way that you want it. It's going extremely well. The expectations are set and the teachers are executing. Having that as like a model classroom for others to come in to observe, to see what that looks like, for them to take notes and whatnot, to then bring that into their own classroom when they start to co-teach.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever we work with a school on a large shift or a large initiative, we always recommend that you start small and scale up over time. Most large shifts in instruction take 2 to 3 years minimum. That means if you want it to work, at least be willing to be patient for 2 to 3 years. Some take 3 to 5 years, and that's even better if you have the time and the runway and the budget and whatever else. Yep. However, like if you want to make long-term change and big impact changes to any school or initiative, the best place to start is having a pilot group of 10 or 15% or even 2 or 3 pilot classrooms that you can point to and go, this is the model. When teachers can see, smell, taste, hear, and touch the what they maybe not taste, especially elementary school.
Or smell.
Or a middle school. when teachers can like tactily look and go, that's what this looks like successfully, you will remove a barrier automatically because they will go, "You, what's your excuse now? Because I assume that you have the same professional capacity as your colleague. So now what excuses do we have? It's already happening in our school, in our building, in our hallway, in our grade level, in our subject with our kids. So you tell me why we can't do this." So this goes with co-teaching or any initiative you're currently working on or thinking about implementing next year. Be patient, start small, scale up over time, create models and pilots so that you can point to something. But also make sure you're not like sending teachers out to dry. So like we've also had districts that go, well, we're just going to train these couple groups of teachers and then expect it to just like magically happen. So like make sure you're holding the hand of those pilot teachers and make sure they feel successful, making sure that it's not a one and done training and now all of a sudden everybody's an expert. You need to make sure if you want things to work, you have to invest the time, the energy, and the support to allow them to work. Otherwise, they will falter, they will fail, or they will get wobbly really quick, and you won't have a model classroom, and now you're kind of stuck, right? So if you're going to make the investment, do it the right way. Take your time. Don't rush things. And that's what we've found over the last 10 years to be really effective.
Yeah, great point, Chad. All right, everyone, it was great to see you. Just if you're checking us out for the first time, you landed on YouTube and you found this video, you can join us every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Love these collaboration sessions. And you can go to teachbetter.com/mastermind. It is free. You don't have to pay a dime to join these sessions. And you are guaranteed to at least find some additional resources. Here's some wonderful models from different administrators all over the country, actually even Canada. So we've got folks all over the place joining. And then, you know, for everyone that's already a part of the group, you know, make sure that you go on to facebook.com/groups, Teach Better Admin Mastermind. That group is growing every single day. So make sure you're jumping in there. And then, you know, if you have a topic that's something that you want to discuss on a Tuesday morning, you know, you can either put it in the comment section here on YouTube, or you can get in that Facebook group and drop a post, and we'll make sure that we address it in one of these sessions. And then, of course, on YouTube, you can go ahead and hit that little subscribe button. Make sure you hit the bell so that way you know every week when this video drops, so that you can gain some more insight if you were not able to participate in the meeting. Chad, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your wisdom this morning. It was such an awesome conversation.
Thanks, babe. Great to be here.